Boopy boop. Do you have two Skype accounts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For the ladies.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
Hello.
Perfect.
Yay.
Hi, this is Fo with We Heart Music Radio, and...
I'm Amy.
And I'm Emily.
Do you have a preferred, like, Emily song? Because I know a lot of artists wrote songs about Emily.
You know, I'm glad that you asked me, because there are two Emily songs that I appreciate very much. The first one is Pink Floyd's See Emily Play, and the second one is The Zombies' Emily something. Wallace knows. I can't remember what it's
Wallace
called.
Can't help you,
but it's a Zombies song. Yeah, The Zombies do a song called Emily something. The song that I hate, though, never ever play it, is Simon and Garfunkel's Emily, Wherever She May Be, or If I Ever See Her, I'm going to Punch Her in the Face, that song. I don't like that song. But, yeah.
So don't play that one.
Emily. Emily, can't you see there's nothing you can do? There's loving everywhere but love for you. Her roses are fading.
Anyway, unfortunately, there's no song about Bose, so we...
Not yet.
When we get the band back together, we're going to write
when
a song about Bose.
When the band gets back together, Bo, you are going to be the first song.
You're going to be like, Bo, oh, oh.
Oh, we love you so, oh, 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 Bo.
So as you can hear noises in the background, I actually have Amy and Emily together in a room. So they are real. And
the flesh.
I've never done this before, so I advance apology to anything going wrong or has gone wrong.
Inevitably will go wrong.
Indubitably.
There's a party in the house and we'll be rocking tonight. So bring your body with you, baby.
All right, so first topic of the day is why don't you take lead?
Yeah, Adam Yao. Is it pronounced Yao?
Yao?
I always said Yak.
Yao. I thought it was Yauk. Adam Yao.
Adam Yao from Beast Boys has passed away today. Russell Simmons made it public. I think he spoke to TMZ and Rolling Stone at approximately, what was it, 2 in the afternoon?
It was earlier
in the morning, right, that he passed. But yeah, that was a very sad passing. And to be honest, I didn't realize it until Amy notified me about it via text. I knew that he was battling cancer and has been for the last 3 years, but I didn't realize that he was still as sick as he was. So.
Yeah, I remember like 2 years ago, they canceled his tour because he was so sick. And mm-hmm. I felt really bad about it, but I didn't think much of it.
Yeah. And they pushed back the release of Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, right? Or they, I can't remember exactly. Was that?
They released Part 2.
Yes, they did.
Did they scrap Part 1? Because I thought that was sort of like entangled in something. Like they made Part 1 and then he got sick and they scrapped it. And then they made another one and that was Part 2. And then they released that last year. I don't know. I could be wrong. Somebody help.
Maybe. I have no idea.
Really?
No, I really haven't kept up on Beastie Boys stuff. I mean, I've always liked them, and I had License to Ill on cassette back when I was a skateboarding 8-year-old hanging out in my garage trying to turn ollies and falling on my butt.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to visualize you doing that right now.
It was pretty spectacular. I wish you all could have been there. But yeah, I mean, I was a huge Beastie Boys fan for a while. I mean, I still respect them and listen to them and like them, but I haven't listened to them as much recently as I used to growing up. But yeah, I was really sad to find out. And of course, I found out the music news as I find out most music news from Kyle on his Twitter feed.
Kyle? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Kyle and Eric Thompson, too.
Yeah. I knew that there was something wrong the minute, you know, he released that statement saying that he wouldn't be able to attend the induction into the Hall of Fame. I was like, that's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's just really sad because they were, you know, very forward-thinking group, and they were amazing, and now it's over.
Yeah. I'm not sure what they're going to do at this point. I mean, they have to disband. They're not going to go on without him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, I don't know what's on the horizon for Ad Rock and Mike D. And Mixmaster Mike, of course.
I have a great story. from when
I'm waiting for a story.
When I was dating this guy and we went down to Let It Be Records. Do we all remember Let It Be?
Yes.
Yeah. Nicolette and
rest peace too.
Went to go see an in-store by Mixmaster Mike, and me and my boyfriend and his son at the time went to go see Mixmaster Mike, and we spotted Mike D and his wife at the time was.
Oh my god!
I spotted him and we like followed him into the like IDS court and stuff like that, and I was like stalking Mike D at Mixmaster Mike's in-store. And the only reason I stopped walking out, because he, like, looked at me, and I looked at him, and there was kind of, like, that knowing, like, she knows who I am kind of glance. But then
he wasn't wearing, like, shades or mustache.
No, they were just walking around, checking things out, and then the smell in my boyfriend's son's pants. Like, we had to change his diaper, so we couldn't, like, stalk Mike D anymore. That's my story.
Were you a big Beastie Boys fan, though?
Of course. I mean, not like huge fan, but if you grew up in the same time period I did, like in the 80s and 90s, they're huge. I mean, you look at, what's that party song?
You gotta fight for your right to party. Kick it!
Yeah, and then, of course, wait, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, right? And then...
No Sleep Till...
and then I think one of my favorites, the two DJs and a microphone, or two MCs
three
and...
Three DJs and... Wait,
three MCs and a mic.
DJ, we've been down with no delay, mixed mass mic, what you got to say?
Wicca, wicca, wicca! All
right,
so...
He'll tweak your ass across the crossfade. So watch your back when he takes the stage. Gonna send you off on a naked rampage. With just three MCs and one DJ, and we be getting down with no delay. But Mixmaster Mike, what you got to say?
So yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Beastie Boys? I mean, it's kind of hard to find anyone that doesn't like, you know, three Jewish dudes from Brooklyn.
New York City, yeah. It's true.
What else? I think a while back they released, what is it, the Five Boroughs?
To the Five Boroughs, yeah, in 2005, right?
And I actually really like that album. That's like, other than that, I think everybody has like License to Ill. And then what's that Tin Can one? What's that one?
It was a Hello Nasty? No.
Hello Nasty is fantastic, yeah. That's Hello Nasty, where they're in the sardine can.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Do you know the story behind the name?
I just assume it's nasty smelling.
No. It's, well, it has to do with their label, the label that they were on.
Oh, okay.
Was like, it had something to do with Nasty Records or something, and then the secretary would answer, "Hello, Nasty." That's what I've read. That is what I've read. So it could be wrong. I don't know.
That's a great story, though. We should just go with that. Even if it's true or not, I'd be like, nope.
And Hello Nasty, like, when that album came out in 97, I was watching a lot of 120 Minutes, and they used to play 3 MCs and 1 DJ, and Intergalactic.
Intergalactic.
And Body Moving.
Body Moving. Yes.
But they were kind of big by then. I mean, I think the shift really happened from like License to Ill to Paul's Boutique, because they were from like, they were really homophobic and kind of and misogynistic on License to Ill. But then you went, they progressed so much to Paul's Boutique. And then when they picked up instruments and Check Your Head, I mean, that was, they just kind of went off the charts there,
you know? Which was completely instrumental, right? Root Down.
But I mean, they always knew how to play their own instruments, I guess, but they never really did it until Check Your Head and, you know, I mean, it kind of took off after them, but they just progressed and evolved so much as musicians. It's just an absolute shame.
Yeah. 47. 40, that's way too young.
Yeah.
He had
lymphoma? Or he had salivary glands, right?
Yeah. I feel like it was his parotid. Like, it was P-A-R-O-T-I, parotid gland. And then his lymph and a lymph node, so... Mm.
All right, so any last words for Adam?
Rest in peace. I mean, what else can you say?
So I just finished reading Dee Snider's Shut Up and Give Me the Mic. The book comes out May 7th.
I'm so jealous. So jealous. I've already told you my Twisted Sister story. Growing up, I had very eclectic musical tastes. I'm not going to lie. I liked a lot of different things. A little pop, a little rock, a little hard rock. I was really into some...
Hair metal.
Yes. When I was... little, like 6 years old, I would go over to my Aunt Lori's house, and she had Kiss's Animalize on cassette, and she also had Twisted Sister's Stay Hungry on cassette, which I listened to all the time.
Did that have We're Not Gonna Take It?
Yeah, that's the album. Yeah.
That was it. That was the best record that they put out. I'm not gonna lie. That's it. That had their two hits. That was what they were known for, and it was amazing, and it blew my mind. And so I was so overcome by their musical prowess that I, as a young six-year-old, decided that it was a good idea to write a fan letter to them, telling them in my shaky script, because I didn't really know how to write that well at that point in time, how much I love their hair, and I love their music, and I love their videos, and I love their clothes. And I sent it away, not expecting much in return. But a few weeks later, I got a nice glossy 8x11 photo of them. It wasn't signed, but it was pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. As a six-year-old, I wasn't expecting anything back when I wrote
it. Seriously? That's amazing. Do you still have it?
No, I wish I did. I don't know what happened. I know. You can slap me later, but I know. So, yeah, that's my Twisted Sister story. It was the first fan letter I ever wrote to anyone ever, and I got a little glossy picture back. So they will always have a special place in my heart.
Aww.
I'll cheers to that one.
That's beautiful.
For a backstory, for anyone who hasn't heard of Twist the Sister, which is probably impossible, but they are a hair metal band. They really hit their stride with I Wanna Rock and Rock! And
we're not going to take it.
And we're not going to take it anymore, which was actually the first hit. And so what's funny is that they actually didn't, they were building up an audience in America, in New York area, and then it was the UK that actually asked them to come and do.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And the UK probably broke them, basically. Yes. Right? As the UK usually does.
So, and then they were asked to play for a couple of shows for Motorhead. Usually when opening bands are open up for like major bands like Motorhead, the fans aren't there for the opening band, basically, you know?
Ever, usually.
Rarely.
So Lemmy says, you know what? I'm going to fix all this. And Lemmy came out and introduced the band. And wow. So Lemmy came out and said, these guys are from America. Give them a lesson. And then... there you go. And then
that's awesome. Lemmy is a stand-up guy, though. Lemmy is good people.
So they were asked to play Reading Festival, and then somebody from the BBC saw them at Reading and then asked them to be on The Tube, which is a television from on Channel 4 in the 70s and 80s. And but anyway, so they perform, and their trick was his secret weapon. That at the last song, he was going to ask Lemmy, and I think the bassist from another metal band, maybe, I forget the other guy, but he was in another well-known metal band at the time. And for that was the secret weapon. It's the last song that Lemmy and his buddy was going to come on stage and help him sing the last song. And of course, the crowd went nuts. The people watching on TV saw this and went nuts. And yeah, they were... offered like 3 record deals that night.
Oh my
That's
god.
Crazy. Because as much as they were broken in the UK, can I just say, not broken, but broke in the UK?
I'm sure the UK broke.
They were broken! But they actually, like, didn't have a huge hair metal thing like they did in the US. Like, it ended way sooner in the UK, which is why I'm a little surprised that they actually did get a bigger following in the UK initially, because I think it kind of peaked maybe sooner in the UK, because like here we got like Motley Crue and Poison and Skid Row and all that stuff that came after, but in the UK it died down kind of fast. I think
one of the thing is, I guess I didn't realize this, but the UK audience are very homophobic, and which surprised me, but
wow, because they all sound gay with that accent.
Don't laugh,
because I always say that, like I always say that to them whenever I'm over there, and I'm just like, it's because you sound good. I know that, right?
Well, if you look at the Twisted Sister, they're a bunch of men dressed as women with makeup. And of course, the UK people were like, oh, this bloody poofdas, and, you know.
What was it, an homage to Rocky Horror? Is that essentially what it was?
It was before Rocky Horror. But, oh, tell you the origin, because I am an expert.
After
obviously
having read this
book, yeah, you know.
His wife was, I think, 17 or 18 at the time.
Woo, jailbait.
And just a little backstory, he met his wife when she was 15. And it's...
and he was how old at the time?
Like 20, right?
Holy, what the
major
what?
Jailbait. Ouch.
That's illegal. Anyway, continue.
Actually, let me tell you the story of how they met, because I think it's the funniest chapter in the book.
Probably adorable.
Pedophilia's
hilarious.
Pedophilia. If somebody's 15 and 21, you can go to jail for that.
We don't know they did anything. For all we know, he was a state if he held up. Vo?
This is New Jersey. Come on. Anyway.
New Jersey has nothing to do with it.
Leave no orifice untouched in New Jersey.
Is that the state motto?
Exactly. Garden State, or if it's untouched.
So Oh, this is one of the first gigs as Twisted Sister. He came on, and he didn't. They didn't dress like women back then. They dressed like manly men, and they played. And he saw this girl, and she's standing in front, mouth wide open, just looking at him. I mean, everybody knew it. I mean, there was like maybe 15 people out there, but she was looking at him, and he's looking at her, this hottie, and he's like, I gotta have her, you know, she's so hot. But wait, maybe she's a little underage. So he's thinking.
I don't think that's what he was thinking.
Is that what you wrote in the book?
You continue.
So he's thinking she might be a little new to this because she's really into it. Like, she must be kind of new to this concert thing. She must be, the legal drinking age back then was 18. So he's thinking she's gotta be like 17, you know. And then they meet, and then turns out she was 15. Yeah. And then her name sealed the deal. Her name is Suzette.
Wow.
And that began, like, a 3-decade love affair.
Yes.
A name and, like, a chance encounter at a concert. That's just... That's just the fairy tales.
If you saw her picture, I can see.
She's a hottie, but she's also very, very young. And it's kind of creepy.
So he started dating her, I guess, for years and years. And then, I mean, he's been married to her. She's the only one, which I have to say is something. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm sure he's never had any dalliances. I mean, because look at him. He was in Twisted Sister. Yeah,
well, this is true. I mean, not to call him a liar, but maybe he fabricated just a little bit. I would find it difficult to be true to someone if you're a big, sweaty rock star in the 80s.
And in spandex.
Yeah, wearing spandex. And
like I said, this is from his perspective, so I don't know what all the stories is, but according to him, he doesn't drink, he doesn't eat drugs, and he's a...
And he never did? He never did.
Okay. Yeah. So he's like the Frank Zappa of our era.
Actually, they met like later on, but don't worry about that. Let's just
we'll get there eventually, everybody.
Meaning Frank Zappa also never. He was straight edge before straight edge was straight edge.
So weird because it's Frank Zappa. I mean, look at that name.
Did you think how weird him and his kids were? You're like, there's all kinds of drugs going on there.
No. Crazy high on life. Anyway.
So what else? So they got a big hit with they recorded "Stay Hungry" with Atlantic Records, and I don't know if you guys remember the videos to the two songs.
Yes.
But
they were basically the same video.
In a high school with that guy.
Basically, yeah.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Anyway, so. Do you guys have any questions for me about Twisted Sister? Because I can probably answer them.
And, like, can me and JJ French be best friends?
He was best friends with JJ, correct? Right? They were, like, best buddies, right?
I don't know, but JJ French was, in my mind, hottie.
Really?
To my 6-year-old self, I was all over that.
So, according to his book... He and JJ, he looked up to JJ in the first part of their formation, and then eventually took over his songwriting. Like I would say, like 1976, when he proved that he can write hit songs, but he kind of had this resentment towards JJ in a way that JJ is kind of very dismissive of this kid, you know.
Is JJ older? I'm assuming
he's a little older. And he collected a lot of imported porn, according to the book.
Imported porn? Yeah. Like Indonesian porn?
Like German scheisse videos?
Like, yeah, from Sweden and from Germany. And well, anyway, but that's not the point. Although he would never ever forget that blonde Swedish chick with 5 guys and
it, like, rocked his world, probably, right?
Yeah.
By the way, his name is Danny Snyder.
Danny.
And but they wanted to change it because he was like, you know, what's the word? He needed to be transformed.
Sure. Well, he probably wanted a persona as well, right? Yeah. I mean, it's easier to sell. You don't want to sell your real self.
So originally it was going to be like an homage to the Ramones, like Dee Dee Ramones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but...
Really? The Ramones touched everybody.
Yeah.
Like, the Ramones
had a hand in every major band after, like, 1975.
I mean, they're amazing. And was Joey, is he dead now, or...
Joey died in 2002. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That bums me out.
Anyway, so the original Twisted Sister was started off as a cover band in the 70s, like 72, 73, 74, one of those time period, because...
72.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Dee Snider didn't really join the band until... they had gotten rid of the last singer, and then J.J. French took over as songwriter, singer, and a band manager. And then, but they needed a new singer, and so that's when Dee Snider joined. But yeah, Dee Snider. So, like I said, Dee Snider, I think he's a very smart man. He wrote the book himself. You can tell. I mean, he has his very personality written all over it. And right now, he's currently doing Broadway. So, yeah, so right now he's doing Broadway with Cyndi Lauper, and I'm sure you've seen some of the... what I love about Broadway is they're all, like, classic, you know, 1940s, written by Cole Porter, kind of, like, really, yeah. And so it has a very ageless... you know, the language is different back then, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something really nice about that, and... even though Twisted Sister's no more.
Patti LuPone.
What do you think about his voice?
So he lost his falsetto, like, way early. And so he started singing, he started writing songs to accompany his vocal ability. But listening to this Broadway album, he still has it. He's
really?
Yeah.
So he has a good voice. Okay.
Oh, what good is sitting alone in your room? Come here. The music play. Life is a cabaret, oh chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, oh chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine. Come hear the band. Come go a hot stop.
Like Dee Snider. I've never been like a big fan of Twisted Sister, but I always saw him as a very affable, funny guy, very approachable.
Yeah, so do you want to know the death of Twisted Sister and what happened?
Yeah, didn't he start a new band, right, in the 90s? He started a new band?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
Widowmaker.
Widowmaker, that's right.
Widowmaker!
So, in the 80s, Tipagore went on a crusade.
The PRMC.
Yes, to destroy everything good in America. And Twisted Sister was targeted as one of the band for inciting violence in the video, which, if you ever saw this video, it's not so much like violence, but it's more like a comical kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of, you know what I mean? And, of course, that ass deserved it anyway, you know. But they didn't see it like that. They thought it was a like a violence towards people, or, you know. Anyway, and it wasn't just that. It was Metallica was on there. Who else was cited? Cyndi Lauper.
There were tons of people. I remember, because I used to read a lot of, like, metal magazines back in the day. And I remember the PMRC was, like, all over. I thought Tipper Gore was like the worst person in the world, and I remember her, like, all the hearings, and it was just anything that had Prince,
yeah,
Judas Priest, Motley Crue, AC/DC, Madonna, Def Leppard, Black Sabbath. Just like she wanted to bring music down.
And if you even look at, like, the Cyndi Lauper one for that song M-Bop or something, have you
Bop? Yeah, well, because isn't it about masturbation?
I think so.
Well, that's what I was told, that Shebop or one of her songs is about masturbation, and that's maybe why.
Here's the thing. why would you care? You know what I mean? Like,
because I'm going to tell you why. Because they're a bunch of puritanical, self-righteous people out there. Like, America is a little too uptight, I think, is the problem. Anyway, continue. That's why, though. I think it's really it's a culture thing. Because, like, you go to Canada and you can show topless women and TV after, like, 10 p.m.? Yes. Same in the U.K. But in America, you can't do that. And it is kind of a puritanical thing. It's, you know, oh my God.
God forbid. People should be naked and have sex.
It's very interesting. In fact, I wrote a report in high school about the PMRC and censorship in the 80s. So, talking about censorship, when Dee Snider was at the PMRC, congressional hearing or whatnot, which apparently was illegal, right? Did he mention that in the book?
He thinks it's, well, personally, I believe it's kind of like anti-First Amendment. I mean, you have the right to say what you want. And
yeah, but they were really talking about just providing a notification for people. Like, if you're dumb enough not to realize something appropriate to listen to, you know, which now that I'm older, like, that's fine. If they want to do that, that's fine. You know what I mean? Because it's really, it's up to the family. It's up to the parents to decide what their children should be listening to anyways. So if they can, like, rate everything they want, it doesn't mean that stuff shouldn't be out, you know, it should be heard.
But here's the problem. Music distributors stopped carrying records that had those warnings and
sure.
Labels. So you look at Walmart, which is probably at the time the biggest.
What's the biggest?
Yeah, distributor. That's true.
And so they lost a lot of sales to that. And then you got like a lot of backlash from, I guess MTV didn't want to air the video that would get them in trouble.
Are you sure? Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like they put that a lot.
Well, no, and they would also like not play certain videos until a certain time.
Like 10 o'clock
yeah.
or something. But at the same time, you gain that notoriety, and I feel like that probably should like help.
Well, now did the PMRC like originate the explicit lyrics?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Because
I remember the first time, because they were like, oh, unless you were over a certain age, you couldn't buy those without parental consent. And I remember being downtown with my parents when I was a kid and buying Jane's Addiction's
Ritual.
Yes. And it was the one where he was in bed with two girls. And it had that on it. And I remember being completely aware from having read in like Rip or Metal Edge, whatever awesome metal magazine, like
you
told me about it, and I remember going up to the register and turning to my mom and saying, "Is it okay if I get this?" Because I knew I had to like ask permission.
Totally.
I was like, "When did that come out? What years did that come out?" I was
91.
Yeah, so I was 13. I was like 12 or 13 when this happened, and my mom didn't even like look at it. I held it up. And you can see, like, I mean, it was...
The bad boobs.
Yeah. It was a little risque. And she didn't even look. And she's like, yeah, you can buy it.
and the chick just
rang me up. And like, she was, like, had a nose ring at the time, which was kind of... I don't think she would have cared anyway. But it was just weird because I knew that I had to ask. And my mom had no idea. Because, you know, she grew up in an era where you didn't need permission to buy any kind of music. You could just buy whatever you wanted because it was art. Mm-hmm. And you could just purchase it. So she didn't even look. She had no idea what I was getting.
Yeah.
So stuff like that doesn't really work.
Well, and that's totally true. And especially in this day and age, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you can limit what people are listening to or seeing.
Thanks, Internet.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because you know how Al Gore, her husband, says that he invented the internet. And then he basically is the downfall of being able to censor.
Anymore, so. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
So yeah, that kind of led to the downfall of Twisted Sister. Record distributors stopped carrying their stuff.
That was like in 87. Then they reformed in 97.
Yeah, but I don't think they was very successful. By the way, they broke up in 1987 in Minneapolis. Of all
yes!
Places.
So they're like, no, or they're like, this is it.
This is
we're
the city
here.
They were in, and they're like, no more.
Yeah, they showed up to the show in Minneapolis, and nobody showed up.
What? Are you serious?
You mean like if I was nine, I would have gone, but I was nine.
I can't believe MTV banned their music.
Yeah, MTV.
That just blows my mind that they would ban anything that would make them money, basically.
So the irony is, he started Metal Mania, which became Head Metal's Ball.
Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers Ball with,
yay, with
Ricky
Rackman.
Rackman.
And he pretty much started the hair metal thing. So you got Poison, you got all those bands that you cited, how Bon Jovi was huge after this.
Motley Crue.
Yeah, Whitesnake,
all
maybe?
Guys.
Yeah, all those things.
Who were, like, big as a result of Twisted Sister paving the way, if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be right back. You know you can't pump your own gas in New Jersey? Well, anyway, so...
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Pumping gas. Anyways, continue. Yes, please.